Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning from our reading in the letter to the Hebrews. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So began our epistle lesson last week, which was the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, where we emphasized holding on to that which we cannot see, but what is promised by God in Christ Jesus. You might consider today part two of our look at this faith-focused section of Hebrews. And if you haven't done this recently, I would encourage you at some point in the week to read through the whole letter to the Hebrews. It's not very long, and it would provide a good context for last week and this week's reflection. And so as a particular sports company used to say, just do it. If you've been around for a while, you will likely recall this opening line from a once popular TV show or comic book series went like this. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. And then in the TV version, a baritone voice would intone, Superman, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. And so would begin another heroic adventure, one in which you could be sure that my brothers and I were gathered around our black and white TV after school. And at first glance, our excerpt from Hebrews today, this second half of chapter 11 and the beginning of 12, seems to cultivate a similar tone. Behold the superheroes of faith. It seems to say before us, giving us examples like this, Moses leading the people of Israel in Exodus from Pharaoh, the Israelites boldly crossing the Red Sea, the faithful procession around the walls of Jericho until they fell, signaling triumph over the enemy. And numerous other remarkable examples of these incredible accomplishments, each with the prefix, by faith. Are these the ones who can leap the heights of the impossible in one single bound of superhuman faith? So it might seem. Indeed, you can find preaching out there that makes that very assertion. Have faith enough, and you will fill in the blank. You will surely grow in wealth, obtain that coveted promotion or professional success, achieve great things for the kingdom of God, defeat every enemy, reclaim good health, accomplish heroic deeds, and so on. And in comparison with these seeming giants of faith, your own faith may seem at times rather paltry or timid, unsuited for such notable achievements. Now perhaps there have been times in your life when you have taken that bold step out of your own comfort zone in faith, and one ought to rejoice over such times, such experiences. Among the most joyful such memory of my own is one I may have shared with you in the past. It's when Mary and I determined that the Lord was leading us to go into missionary service in Russia. And so, knowing very little about what was ahead, we packed up our little household and ventured into a mission field that had never been served by our church body. And into that experience, we carried the prayer that we will pray together a little later this morning. It begins this way. O Lord, who has called us your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown, give us faith to go out with good courage. And I can affirm the joy and the blessing of such a step when most people in our little world back then thought we were crazy. Because who knew what lurked behind the walls of the crumbling Soviet Empire? But we were content, and God provided. However, I can also recall many more examples when my faith and courage were much weaker. When there was an opportunity to share the gospel with someone and I shied away from that opportunity. Perhaps you can relate to that too. As a seminary student, I was assigned chaplaincy duty in one of the large city hospitals, instructed to call on anyone who had registered as a Lutheran back when you could do that. And I recall standing outside one hospital room that was crowded with family, all of them strangers to me, and it felt so very awkward to walk into the middle of this crowd of strangers. And I'm sorry to say, eventually I just walked away, knowing all the while what a faithless decision that was. And I recall times when I've confronted a problem, struggling to solve it all with my own strength rather than cast that burden upon our Lord as He invites, times when my own actions looked a whole lot more like St. Peter when he was confronted. And he insisted several times when asked about Jesus, "I don't know the man." Those are all faith faltering moments for which I needed to repent. Where does your own faith grow weary and need strengthening? Perhaps it is strained by a long illness of your own or of someone you love. Perhaps it is constricted by a recurrent sin, that secret that you carry around with you, that recurring behavior that you just can't seem to shake. Perhaps your faith has been dulled by the state of our world, which seems to be in a perpetual quagmire of conflict and suffering. Perhaps your burden is one of personal or family conflict. The kind of festering conflict that seems to just draw a veil over all the joy in life. Whatever it might be, those strains on our faith can leave us feeling far away from any of the people heralded in our reading today, and even more importantly, feeling far away from our Lord. But let's take a little closer look at the people whose heroic acts of faith are before us. Abraham, at one point in his life, told Sarah to lie and protect his identity just to save his own skin. Isaac, Abraham's son, who was spared by that remarkable test of faith, did the very same thing at one time, told his wife to conceal his identity to protect himself. Jacob swindled his birthright from his brother and later swindled the greatest blessing from his aging father. Moses strenuously resisted the call of God and complained bitterly about the Israelites. In fact, disobeyed the very specific instruction of God at one point in his life. The people of Israel, it could be said, during their wilderness wandering, made a career out of complaining and doubting that leaving Egypt was for their good. They were a constant thorn to Moses. Rahab was a prostitute, that should say about enough. And these are all people whose faith also faltered at some point in their lives. They are people who needed the grace, the mercy, the patience of God every bit as much as we do. And in spite of their being, well, quite human, they also demonstrated seasons of great faith in which our Lord enabled them to follow His will. Yet these many illustrations, they are not meant to be a comparison to you or to me. This is not God's version of comparative parenting. You know the line, "Why can't you be more like your sister?" This is not God's way of saying, "Why can't you be more like Moses?" On the contrary, These many examples are meant as an encouragement. These men and women remembered in Scripture were not on their own, somehow superhuman. They just believed. They had to lay aside their past, their sins, the memories that weighed them down. Moses the murderer, Jacob the liar, Rahab the prostitute, and so on. They needed to look instead to the promise of Jesus. And for them, it was the promise of the coming of the Messiah. God intends their example to be one of encouragement for us, not a comparison of guilt. And that's why the reading in Hebrews concludes the way it does. We read, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." At the National Youth Gathering a few weeks ago, we were truly surrounded, literally, by a great cloud of witnesses in the Superdome. 25,000 of us all gathered in praise to our Lord. One of our group from a few years ago said that that enormous gathering scene was the way he envisioned heaven. It is an incredible, inspiring atmosphere. And yet every single one of that great mass of young, enthusiastic Christians also has a story of sin that needs a Savior. So what did you call to mind a few moments ago? What weighs you down? What sin clings to you, robbing you of a joyful, faith-filled spirit? God invites you to lay that burden down again at the foot of the cross. And relieved of all that baggage, he invites you again this day to run the race that he has laid before you with endurance, always looking ahead to Jesus and never behind to the past that we have already confessed before him. There before us is our superhero, the one who had the glory of heaven before him and yet set it all aside to run an earthly race of his own. A course in which he gathered up all the sin and burden of all the world and carried it single-handedly all the way to the cross. He endured, as we read in Hebrews 12, endured the cross, despising the shame. And in doing so, Christ has redeemed and restored you into God's family. Whether your faith feels like a roaring flame of passion and conviction, or just a smoldering wick, barely visible. And that brings us to the last phrase of our reading and a key point for us to take home today. But first, let's look at again what it does not say. Our reading today does not conclude by saying, "Consider Christ and all those others so that you're reminded of how much you're not like them." Instead, the writer of the Hebrews encourages us to consider that great cloud of witnesses, and even more importantly, to consider again our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it concludes, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." In other words, remember what Jesus accomplished for you, so that you need not give up. Look to Christ and let the faithfulness of God lift you up and be evident in your life. I mean, absolutely, let us look for those ways in which we can continue to step out in faith. God has used a great variety of very flawed people through the ages to accomplish his purpose, and he continues to do the very same thing in you and me in ways that are visible and invisible. And so let us run the course of our lives with the endurance that comes from God, looking to Jesus, always by faith. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon our Lord Jesus Christ, running that race in faith, now and always. Amen.